Okay, our next speaker is going to talk about long-term impacts of conservation management practices on aggregation, soil moisture, and cotton yield.
Good morning. My name is Joseph Burke. I'm a graduate research assistant and presidential fellow of sustainable land and water development at Texas Tech University and Texas A&M AgriLife Research in Lubbock. Today, I'm going to present my results from the last 2.5 years I've been working on in long-term impacts of conservation management practices on aggregation, soil moisture, and cotton yield. This is accumulation of a long-term tillage study that was started in 1998, and we've been researching it since then. I will be presenting along with my co-authors, Dr. Katie Lewis, Glenn Ritchie, Wayne Keeling, and Dr. DeLon. So to begin, cotton is a big crop for West Texas. We produce about 60% of the state's crop for about $1.5 billion. Now, with that comes questions of how can we grow it in an environment that's not the most conducive for growing things. We have low soil moisture, we have high winds, high temperatures in the summer, and unfortunately, our soils are incredibly susceptible to wind erosion. So how can we maximize our opportunities while minimizing our losses to the environment? And with that, the idea of cover crops came around. Can we utilize cover crops to not only hold the soil in place, but also to increase our profitability of our cotton systems while reducing our water demand from the Ogallala Aquifer? Now, with that comes questions, though, from farmers of how can we do this without limiting our cotton yield opportunities? And the big question always comes, if that cotton crop needs every bit of moisture that we can give it, because we don't get much rainfall, and there's a big fact that it's going to use most of our soil soil moisture from our cotton crops. So we want to investigate those questions. To do that, Drs. DeLon, Keeling, and Jamie Foster down in Beeville developed a project to demonstrate and quantify the impacts of conservation tillage and cover cropping on soil carbon, soil health, and soil water holding capacity, and subsequently their effects on yield in a deficit irrigated cotton system. I have a poster that I'll be presenting this afternoon on the soil carbon and nitrogen dynamics, and then today I'll be presenting the aggregation, stored soil moisture by neutron thermalization, and the yield. The cotton economic analysis, which is what most people are interested in, will be available later this year as we're about to submit that paper for publication. Most of these papers, there will be about 4 of them published on this study, will be published, will be published this year as we're submitting them now. So to begin, we chose to use our location in La Mesa, Texas, at the Agricultural Complex for Advanced Research and Extension Systems. It was established in 1998, like I said, comparing a conventional tillage with a winter fallow to a no-tillage with a rye cover system. In 2014, we split the no-till rye plots in half and added a mixed cover, which included rye, hairy vetch, radish, and a winter pea. The soils in this area, as you can see here on the map, we use this location here. So after 19 years, the soils used here is an Amarillo fine sandy loam, which is a benchmark soil, which means we can make broader implications for West Texas based on the soil type that we used. It's a randomized complete block design with 3 replications, and our treatments included a conventional tillage with a winter fallow. I'll refer to that as CT moving forward. A no-tillage with a rye cover, which I'll refer to R-NT, which was planted at 45 kilograms per hectare, and a no-tillage with a mixed cover, I'll refer to that as M-NT, at 45 kilograms per hectare as well. The plot sizes were 16 rows by 76 meters long, so these are big plots, and we were able to deficit irrigate the system using a low-energy precision application system developed by the Research Center at Halfway. And you can see here in this image the research plot design for the system. So I don't know if I can stress the importance of a long-term tillage study. Most tillage studies that you'll look at it from a 3 to 5 year stance, whereas this one is one of the only long-term tillage studies in West Texas. And so it really gives us one of the only indications of what's going on over time in West Texas. So we can't really begin anywhere without looking at the climatic conditions involved in this situation. Along the x-axis, we have our time and months beginning in November of 2014 going through November of 2017, and then precipitation values on the first y-axis in millimeters. On the second y-axis, we have temperature in degrees Celsius. So as you can see, we have limited moisture, except in May of 2015, where we had a 3.5-inch rain in about 3 hours. So as you can imagine, most of that moisture just ran right off the field, which is one of the benefits to cover crops, is maybe it can help retain some of that moisture early on in the season. This is also right before you're going to plant your cotton, so if you can retain as much of that moisture right before you plant, that's when you get the most of those benefits. Throughout the rest of the season, 2016 was our wettest year as a whole, followed by 2017, which was our driest year as a whole. And you'll get to see that in the stored soil moisture data here in a little bit. There's two ways you can begin this question. You can either look at it from the amount of moisture used and its effects on cotton yield, or you can evaluate it from the cotton yield and look at its effects on soil moisture. And that's how we're going to go about it. We're going to look at yield first and then try and dispel the doubt that farmers have about how much moisture is available to their systems. So again, on our x-axis, we have our management practices with the conventional tillage, followed by rye with the no-till, and our mix with our no-till. And then on the y-axis, we have our lint yield in kilograms per hectare. In 2015, there were no significant differences between the treatments. In 2016 and 2017, our conventional till yielded the highest amount of lint, followed by our mixed no-till and our rye no-till. And we saw this trend several times. When you look at the historical yield data in the first couple of years of the study in 1998 through about 2001, it was highest in the rye and lowest in the conventional till. And then as we've moved on, about 2004, we saw a shift in that paradigm, and that's when a lot of our higher yielding cotton varieties were released. And ever since those have been released, our conventional till has outweighed our no-till rye in yield production. So if our yields are reduced in our no-till, it's kind of counterintuitive to what our mixed are. So maybe there is a moisture deficit caused by the no-till with a cover crop compared to the conventional tillage. And so one of those leading questions is, well, how is this affecting aggregation? Because cover crops should increase the aggregation of our soils, therefore retaining more moisture, more carbon, and being able to build bigger aggregates which can store more moisture. Unfortunately, we did not see that. On our x-axis, again, we have our management practices following the same pattern. On our y-axis, we have our aggregate mean weight diameter, which is a measure of aggregate size based on their weight fractions. So within this, there was no significant differences, but generally we had a larger aggregate or mean weight diameter, or so a larger aggregate size in our conventional tilled system compared to the no-till systems with a cover in the 0 to 15 centimeters, whereas that's the opposite in our 15 to 60 centimeter depths, where we had a generally larger aggregate fraction size in our lower depths compared to the shallow depths in our cover crop treatments. Well, this is most likely due to the fact that when you till, you're bringing those translocated clay particles back within the surface, and so they're being easily translocated within the depth, whereas they're being washed through the system, sandy soil, so any clay particles that we have, which would increase that aggregate fraction, are going to be washed throughout the soil profile. That's most likely what we're seeing, is we're seeing a heavier clay content lower in the profile in our no-till plots compared to our conventional till plots. So, if it's not aggregation, then are we actually storing more moisture? And we are. So, this is a bit busy, so we'll walk through it. I'll take a little bit of time here. On our x-axis, we have our sample dates beginning on March 26, 2015, when we first began using the neutron probe, running through November 17th, when I got back from a conference, or November 17th of 2017. In each of the years, maybe the mouse will work, yes, okay. So, in each of the years where we have a cover crop, we see a significant difference between the conventional till and no-till, with the conventional till storing more moisture than the no-till. Makes sense. The cover crops are using winter moisture. We don't irrigate during the winter. We don't fertilize these cover crops. And so, therefore, they're using whatever moisture is available within the profile. However, with timely rainfall or deficit irrigation, we remove that deficit between them at planting of cotton. And through the rest of the growing season, there is no significant difference until later in the season when our no-till is able to have more stored soil moisture compared to the conventional till plots. And we see this trend in each of the years. It's most dramatic, the difference, in 2016, where we have the significance here. And then it flips again here, where we have the most significant difference between the conventional till and the no-till here in 2017. So, while we may be planting cover crops and they are using stored soil moisture, if you have timely rainfall or a deficit irrigation, you can flip that balance and have more moisture available later in the season. But it's not translocating to yield, right? So then we decided to build some contour maps. If you haven't seen these before, these are really cool. I really recommend these if you're doing anything with moisture. But what we can do is on the x-axis, we have days after planting, beginning 50 days before we plant our cotton, leading up to 200 days afterwards. And then on the y-axis, we have each of our treatments, both the conventional tillage with the winter fallow and the depths of the soil profile in centimeters, going from 0 or negative 20 down to negative 40 based on our measurements that we took. And then in the no tillage with the cover crop, we have the same thing. And then for each of the years that we looked at. So if you can see here within our cover crop treatments, and I combined the cover crops together because there was no significant difference between the two of them for demonstration purposes. So you can see here that in each of the years that they are using stored soil moisture prior to planting the cotton. But at cotton planting, there is no difference between the conventional till and the winter fallow. As you go throughout the season, when you go from this blue color to a green to a brown, you're losing moisture. The cover crops are using less stored soil moisture in most of the years compared to the conventional tillage. This is most dramatic in 2017, which is our driest year, where we see a significant difference between the moisture available to our winter or conventional tillage compared to our no tillage with a cover. So this is really important. It kind of dispels the idea that farmers have that if they plant a cover crop, they're going to utilize all their stored soil moisture. And so this can kind of help us try to understand what are the other things, tease out the other things that these cover crops may be doing that might be reducing our yield benefit. So in summary, cotton lint yields were greatest in conventional till plots compared to the no-till plots with a rye cover. Maximizing termination timings might actually reduce that yield gap between conventional till and no-till, and that might lead back to a mobilization of nitrogen from the cover crop. Aggregation was not increased by no-till after 18 years compared to conventional till, which is kind of the idea that we all have established with our no-till, with no-till, is that we'll increase aggregation, and we're not seeing that in West Texas soils. And that tillage may reduce the translocation of these clay particles deeper into the profile of sandy soils. Stored soil moisture is reduced by cover crops. However, timely rainfall or irrigation can recover that used moisture. And cover crops store additional moisture during active cotton growth compared to the conventional till systems. And finally, the question that we're kind of moving forward with was cover crops may reduce cotton yields because nitrogen immobilization and or by serving as a host for plant pathogens like root knot nematode, which we've seen in the past. So those are the things that we're going to be investigating in the future is those nitrogen and carbon dynamics as well as the effects of root knot nematode. With that, I'd like to thank my team members, Dr. Katie Lewis, my advisor, Drs. Glenn Ritchie, Wayne Keeling, and Paul DeLon for their assistance throughout the project, as well as our research assistant, Dustin Kelly, for his farm management, and Texas A&M AgriLife Research for some extended funding that I needed for my research. This was originally funded by a CIG from the NRCS, a conservation improvement grant, as well as Texas State support through Cotton Inc. And I'd also like to thank the Office of the President for providing my salary for the last 3 years. I'm sure they're tired of paying for me, and I will be graduating soon, so they can pass that money on to somebody else. And with that, I say thank you and stand ready for any questions that you might have. Yes, sir. Yes, so in our conventional tilled system, we're looking at about 0.1% organic matter. In our no-till plots, we're looking at about 0.3% organic matter, or up to 1%, depending on the time of year when you sample. So we have significantly improved organic matter, but not to an extent that you see in other soils of other places. Yes. Yes, sir. Well, we're kind of limited to the parameters of the study as it was originally established because it is a long-term study, and we want to extend the purity of that system overall. The next student that will present, Mark McDonald, will actually be presenting some strip-till it's a no-till system, but it's a more short-term, and so may be able to look at it from that standpoint. But to answer your question about why we haven't implemented strip-till is because we're trying to extend the purity of the system that we're evaluating as a long-term study. Yes, ma'am.
One additional quick question, please.
Excellent question. So the seeding rate was 45 kilograms per hectare. It's consistent each time throughout the 2014, 15, 16, and 17 study. As for the success of those crops, most things don't survive winter in West Texas except for our cereals. And so rye was about the predominant mixture. And so we did get a little bit of pea growth early on in the season, but if it once the first freeze happened, we lost all of our other non-cereals in our mixtures. So essentially we had six plots with a rye cover compared to the others.